T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Molly and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, and we are delighted to welcome in the Cubs pitching coach. He is Jim Hickey. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
I could not be better, gentlemen. Thanks for having me.
Did Joe cover the whole resume there? What did he miss?
Just the way I wrote it.
Do me a favor, will you? Just tell us something we don't know about Joe. I feel like we know so much about Joe, and I'm sure it barely scratches the surface. What is there anything surprising or interesting about Joe that we don't already know, having listened to his many news conferences?
Well, actually, I haven't been around him for the last 3 years, so I don't know what you know, but I'm quite certain I know something that you don't. I don't think I can share it on the air, though.
You'll see it on the T-shirt. No, you won't.
Yeah.
So how's it been for you, not only reconnecting with Joe, but getting to know this pitching staff and even Mike Borzello, who's been here for a couple administrations now? And yeah, what's it like working with some of the guys who are going to work with you?
Well, first of all, for me personally, you know, reconnecting with Joe, that was the easy part. I was very familiar with him. Everything else that happened, this spring training, I was pretty much unfamiliar with, including the first spring training of my professional career that I spent in Arizona. This is my 35th, I believe, and this is the first time I was in Arizona. So that was all new and interesting. But all the guys, I didn't have any kind of exposure to very many of these pitchers before spring training started. And that was a very difficult task for me personally, just to get to know them as pitchers and performers, and you know, just to get to know them a little bit personally as well. Heck, just to get to recognize them took me about 10 days or 2 weeks, and then they would walk by out of uniform, and you'd have to do a double take at them. So it was a lot of just getting familiar with people and just kind of getting comfortable, and it went by. At times, it seemed like it was really, really dragging, but now that we are looking with spring training in our rearview mirror, it went by very quickly.
You know, one of the stories I read said that Yu Darvish has 5 different fastballs. Is that what it was?
11 pitches, 5 or 6 variations of the fastball.
Holy God. How does that work? Is that unusual?
Well, you can't believe everything that you read.
It's 13.
Well, he's a little bit unique. He probably manipulates the ball, and I think that's a good way to put it. He manipulates the ball probably better than anybody that I've ever been exposed to. And, you know, when you say he throws 5 different fastballs, you know, I don't know if that's really true. He does throw a 4-seam fastball. He does throw a 2-seam fastball. He does throw a cut fastball. But he does have the ability to kind of ride the ball in on a left-handed hitter. And he's got that ability to do some things that some pretty accomplished pitchers don't have the ability to do. And it's pretty unique. But the catcher doesn't sit there and put down, you know, 5 different signals for 5 different fastballs. I'm sure he knows when a 4-seam is coming. And he'll know, you know, when a 2-seamer is coming as well. But the rest of it is up to you, not you, up to Darvish.
Yeah, we've fallen into that trap as well since you signed with the Cubs. But Jim, when you start looking at the staff individually and collectively, you know, different personalities, different stuff, right? I mean, Kyle Hendricks is the professor, busy. He doesn't have the 95-100 mile an hour fastball, and you know, John Lester's been there, done that, couple rings now. How do you approach each guy individually, or is it the same kind of philosophical approach for the staff?
Well, I mean, philosophically, it's kind of the same for the staff. I think it's the same for probably any staff in baseball, but you certainly have to approach them differently individually. And it is a really good staff. I really, just talking about the starting pitchers themselves, it's such a great mix of pitchers, personalities, and individuals. You know, you have the 2 left-handers with Lester and Quintana, and then Hendricks and Darvish and Chatwood are the right-handers, and they all bring a little bit of something different. You know, you mentioned Kyle and, you know, the lower octane stuff, if you will, but obviously Kyle's very accomplished and very productive type of a pitcher. You know, Yu Darvish is certainly the higher octane type of a guy. Tyron Scottwood is a guy that he's gone a little bit unnoticed, maybe not unnoticed, but not mentioned as much as the other guys. But he's got a true five-pitch mix as well, and I would expect for him to do some pretty good things for the Cubs this year, too. And, you know, just 1-3-5, I'm extremely comfortable. What I talk about personally is just basically the starting pitcher giving you a chance to win the ball game every time that they go out there. And if you look down this list, there is, you know, I mean, there is a weak link. There always is a weak link, but I can't tell you who it is right now, and that weak link is pretty strong. So I'm pretty happy with this group.
Jim, hold on 1 second. We're having a little audio issue here. We're missing a couple of words, and we want to clean up that phone line because the stuff you're saying is so good. I want to get into the bullpen talk as well, the depth of this pitching staff and putting together the roster and how you measure what you have and what you need and what the issues are elsewhere on the field. We want to get Jim's take on all that as well. Good to talk to the Cubs pitching coach. Jim, do we have you?
You've got me. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no problem. That's much better. So we were talking about it, this idea that, you know, as much as we talk about roster building with the different position players, obviously you have that with the bullpen as well, and we know who the starters are, and we have a pretty good feel for who the crucial pitchers are. How difficult were some of the decisions, and do you feel like you have all the roles set here in the bullpen?
Well, the decisions were a little bit less difficult than years past for me because there was a lot of people, you know, a la Brandon Morrow and Pedro Strop and CJ and Cishek, that these guys, you knew they were going to be, you know, in your bullpen and almost what their roles was going to be. But the 8 people that we're leaving camp with here and opening up the season, which I'm extremely comfortable with, and I feel like the roles are all covered, whether it's a left-handed role, whether it's a short right-handed, a late-inning relief role, whether it's a long role, again, in the bullpen, just like the rotation, if you go 1-8 in the bullpen, I'm very, very comfortable with all the people we have down there.
So when you look at a guy like Justin Wilson, and he became the poster pitcher, if you will, for you know, not throwing strikes, and Theo made a point of saying at the end of the season that it wasn't just Justin. I mean, that philosophically, you want to throw strikes, and you want to be much more consistent about that. But with Justin in particular, how did you approach him in your first meeting or so? You know, because the Justin Wilson we saw in a Cubs uniform was obviously not the guy they traded for.
Well, I agree, and I think we talked about it a little bit earlier in spring training. I think I talked about it with you guys, and I just think it was he just got off on the wrong foot, and then these things begin to snowball, and he wanted to do so well, and he probably pressed a little bit more than he would under normal circumstances. And then these things, as far as the throwing of strikes or the lack of throwing of strikes, they just kind of become contagious amongst the group. And I think you saw a little bit of that last year, and we really tried to address that in spring training and just tried to get off onto the right foot. And I think that we remedied for that a little bit. You know, you can't just make it go away with the wave of a wand. But I think collectively as a group, they're in a good place right now in terms of the attack mode and throwing the ball over the plate.
Tell us what to expect from Tyler Chatwood. You know, we know he was in the thin air. He's coming out of thin air, as people have been saying. And you know, it's going to be a different player that we see now than maybe was seen in Colorado. How excited are you for his season?
Well, I was speaking of him when we kind of lost the connection a little bit, and I think that this guy, it's a good thing. It's a good way that you put it, out of thin air, because he doesn't get the recognition that a lot of these other guys do, but this is a very, very talented, another pitcher with a true five-pitch arsenal who's had tremendous success away from the thin air of Coors Field. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to do at sea level, if you will. And I think that he's going to be a very productive member of the rotation. And I was also, I don't know if I'm repeating myself now or not, but you just look at this five-man rotation and having a chance to win the ball game on a daily basis, and there's really no one in that group that you would be reluctant to say, yeah, he's going to give us a chance to win that ball game. So it's an exciting group from front to back.
A guy like Mike Borzello, do you delegate your first meeting with the new staff? How do you go about delegating responsibility, or do you just feel them out? And especially a guy who's been here for a while now and maybe used to doing it a different way.
That's a great question. And as a matter of fact, when I get done with you, I'm heading into the ballpark where I'm going to meet up with Sammy Haddaby and Mike Borzello, and we've already talked about it. In the past, you know, I've been very comfortable doing the research, if you will, and disseminating the information, and I realize how things have worked here over the last couple of seasons, and I'm certainly not the one to fix something if it's not broken, and I really don't think that the system is broken right now, so I'm going to be a part of that. I'm going to do what I normally do. I'm going to be very, very prepared, and I'm just going to go ahead and see how this plays out over the first couple of series, and if we have to make a couple of adjustments, we will, and if we don't, we won't. We'll just let it go the way that it's been.
Jim, how do you feel about the limited mound visits from the catcher? And I know that Wilson Contreras had said he was going to be defiant about that, but we talked to Ozzie Guillen earlier, and Ozzie said that he did a game for ESPN Deportes and talked to Wilson, who in Spanish he was saying, yeah, he understood, he had to watch it, and like the last thing you need is that guy getting thrown out of a game. But apparently it didn't translate well to us anyway. Have you talked to him about it? How difficult will that be for pitchers to not get that regular visit, or do you think it's a good idea for pace of play?
Well, I don't think it's a great idea for the pace of play, although I don't think it's a bad idea in general, especially when you're talking about making, you know, 20 or 25, even some examples in the playoffs that they gave us where there was, you know, 45, 50 mound visits, if you will, in a game. I think that's a little bit excessive. I really think everyone's going to adjust to the rule just fine. You know, Wilson kind of expressed his defiance when this rule first was announced, and I think that was kind of everyone's attitude. It was just like, oh, this is dumb. I'm going to still do what I do. But when you just give it a little bit of thought and you know that you're limited, you can really manage it. I think there's going to come a point. I know there's going to come a point with someone at some point in the season, whether it's us or somebody else, where they're in violation of that rule, and it's going to be very, very interesting to see how the punishment is applied, if you will. But Wilson, you know, we've talked to Wilson, and Wilson understands it, and we haven't had any problem really at all. There's been only a handful of mound visits, and I don't think during spring training there's been only a handful of mound visits, and I don't think that we've really suffered, you know, for that. We've talked about some other non-verbal forms of communication, whether it's signs or kind of looking into the dugout to get a little bit of guidance or direction. So I think it's going to be manageable. It'll be interesting to see when, you know, the violation does occur, though.
Great stuff, Jim. Really enjoy it. Looking forward to talking to you, and appreciate your time.
Not a problem. I look forward to talking to you as well.
Thanks, Jim. Good luck.
Thanks, Jim. That's Jim Hickey, the Cubs pitching coach. Great. He was really good once we got him on that. I don't know what happened there with that connection. It seemed to get worse, but we cleaned it up, and we'll have it cleaned up for the course of the season.
Oh, boy.
And we'll enjoy talking to him, Brian. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to take a quick break. We've got a lot left for you. We're going to talk to Hawk before we get out of here. This is it. This is his last year broadcasting, right? Is that accurate? We'll ask him. Molly and Hanley on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
8:21 on The Score, you got Molly and Hanley. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Hyundai, check out the Sonata at your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Last look of the roads. Jill, have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Still very heavy on the inbound Eisenhower. Traffic sponsored by 23andMe. Just under an hour, 390 into the post office, 35 from Wolf Road. The Edens looks great on the Kennedy, 39 in from O'Hare, 29 for Montrose Express. That'll save you 4 minutes. Stevenson, 38 Veterans Tollway, and 28 from the Tri-State. It's 30 minutes on the inbound side of the Ryan. Ford tied 103rd into the Ryan. Scattered delays on the tollways, no crashes. 23andMe.com, a personal genetic service helping people understand their DNA. Learn more at 23andMe.com/report. You're listening to 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Thank you very much, Jill. This segment brought to you by Walgreens. Allergy season is here, so stop by Walgreens for brands like Allegra and get 24-hour relief for your toughest allergy symptoms. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Really looking forward to the start of the baseball season, aren't you?
Absolutely.
God, it's just a great time of year.
And I love the fact that everyone's starting at the same day.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just going to throw it right out there. Let's roll everybody out. Let's go.
And, I mean, Miami's a nice draw for your opener, isn't it? I mean, not only do you get to go down to Miami, but that is a bad team.
Extended spring training.
Yes. Well, you get to kind of, you know, beat up on somebody and feel good about yourself.
I don't know if you caught any of the Boston Red Sox-Cubs game yesterday. They had Mookie Betts mic'd up in right field, and the announcers were talking to him. And, I mean, his personality really came through. And I heard, Scott Van Pelt said, you know, if you want baseball to become more entertaining, do that during the regular season, not just at the All-Star games and stuff like that, because we've seen the other ones. But I don't know if that would work, but there is a lot of downtime in baseball. You talk about pace of play. I don't think anyone would be complaining if you're watching a broadcast and you happen to have an outfielder who happens to have a personality and, you know, basically joins the booth for an inning or two, because it was entertaining. He's like, oh, boy, I ain't getting this one. Brian hit one. Listen, take a listen to this.
It wasn't a walk-off. You didn't just drop the mic and walk off knowing that this is a strike and I'm done.
I wanted to, but because, yeah, I mean, it's etiquette, you know, right. Bowling etiquette. You can't.
Right. There you go.
I ain't getting this one, boys.
Get on your horse. Don't miss the cutoff.
Brian goes opposite field into the corner. He's chasing it. He goes, they're, don't miss the cutoff. I ain't getting this one, boys. And he's talking about, they're talking about taking his hat off. He's like, I got a bald spot. That's not coming off. It basically went off on Dustin Pedroia. They said, you don't want to look like him, do you? No, that's not a good look.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was very entertaining.
It's very funny stuff all the way around. It's just, and you know what? Now there's something about a baseball season that lends itself to just having a good time and having a laugh.
The weather's changing, hopefully.
The weather's changing, but it's also the number of games, the whole, you know what I mean? You don't have to be serious as a heart attack about everything. You can, you know, when you start talking about a 16-game, 17-week season in the NFL, there is this sort of, every game
is season within a season, right?
No, you can't enjoy yourself in any fashion. So this is fun. This is
Well, that's why I really enjoyed Matt Nagy, too, the more I hear from him. Yeah. John Fox would not have enjoyed that breakfast. I mean, he would have sat there and given you half answers or no answers and half-assed answers and not engaged in anything. And that's during the winter meetings, during the owners' meetings in Orlando. He wouldn't even lighten up then. But Matt Nagy, hey, let's talk football. I'll tell you about it. You want to talk about you and why tight ends? I'll talk all day about it. You want to talk about 13 personnel groups? Here we go.
Yeah, it's all tough.
It's fun to hear from people in a relaxed atmosphere, and you know, even Foxy would have some fun at the owners' meetings, and you know,
he would
enjoy himself
when he came into when he came into the trailer. Bourbon A is about as close to a normal conversation I think anyone's ever had with him, and not that there was any earth shattering there. But
you know, I when he was in Carolina, it was wasn't a big media crew. I mean, he'd been in New York as a defensive coordinator, and then down in Carolina when he got that job, he was pretty laid back, and you could have a conversation with him. And I remember seeing him at the in Mobile a couple of times, and he seemed that's where you get the whole mayor of the NFL. But something went wrong in Denver, and we had talked to Gary about it, and he said that he thought he left his heart there that when they lost that Super Bowl, obviously to go through what he went through, and we knew whoever wrote the story, it's not enough to win the division. It's not enough
apparently
it's not. And unfortunately he gets fired out of there, and he shows up in Chicago, and maybe he was half done.
He had the guard up.
Maybe he just had, given up, the idea that he was going to be, liked by people. I don't know. Never made an attempt though, really to kind of, I'm sure he was good with people he knew going in, like Dan Pompey, guys that have been around forever, but, it was tough to hear him at a news conference and to try to, I don't think there was a connection with him. And it'll be interesting. I heard Bernsey say that he thought he would be a really good guy in the and I mean, I think he can tell a story. I think he can have a laugh. I think that he's got a great personality. But that's not insight into the game.
That's not his job.
But I mean, he knows football, but will he criticize anyone? And his job doesn't have to be criticizing people, but you could say, hey, another option would have been to go with this or do that. I just think that he will be protective of other coaches. Right. And will
Even with the idea that he knows that his football head coaching career is done, no one's going to give him another shot. And maybe if that idea is still in his head, that there's still an opportunity out there, he is not set free. He's not going to be, he is going to be guarded because he doesn't know who's next employer if they're out there listening.
Peyton Manning turned down an opportunity to go into the booth, didn't want to do that apparently. And good for Peyton Manning. If he doesn't want to do it, you don't have to do it. It's interesting. Obviously, being a studio analyst is different than being out at a game. Tony Romo seems to have set a new standard. His anticipation, his understanding of the game of football and what you're looking for on
his
different plays.
His stream of consciousness.
He's fantastic. And, you wonder if is Cutler going back to the booth? Is that going to happen? He's done, right? I mean,
I think that $12 million or so he banked in Miami probably took.
Well, I don't know. I mean, a man needs an occupation. You got to do something. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how set you are for the future. Don't you need to get out of the house every once in a while and do a game on the weekend?
Maybe he's going to do Kristen's reality show. That's going to keep him busy.
Is she doing a reality
show? Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
From Nashville?
What is the reality show?
Kristen Cavallari show.
She going back to Orange County, the Hills, or where's she going?
I don't think I know this. Is it about her raising her kids?
How I Spent Jay's $10
million. Wow. She has her own line of clothes and her own careers, But, Jay could be like
Is she doing a reality show? Is that true? Like on the country station or what?
The 31-year-old mom recently said she would never put her three kids on a reality show, but sources say that it's in the works here, and Jay will be a featured character.
And it'll just be about them raising their kids?
She's got a life in Nashville. She expands her fashion empire. She's a mogul.
It's an empire.
I might be using the term a little loosely.
I would worry about the Tom Brady thing where you put your kids front and center and then someone says something.
Just as long as Jay doesn't kiss the kids on the mouth, it'll be fine.
Oh, wow. Gee, my knee. Really?
I don't even know what that means.
Well, they didn't get vaccinated.
Jeez.
That's a Tom Brady joke.
Yeah, I know.
He spent too much time there, according to some.
Oh, my God.
I think...
this took a turn.
Hey, Mully, did you see Father Rob Hagen at Villanova, what he said?
What'd he say?
Talking about Loyola? A little smack?
Oh, no.
I'm happy they have a bobblehead, and I'm glad we have Jalen Brunson.
Local kid? When I left Chicago.
Getting ready
Villanova.
For the title game?
Yeah, it's hard for me to go after a priest. I don't want to get excommunicated, but,
If they win Saturday, what are you doing?
Is he jealous that a nun has a bobblehead? Is that it, Father?
Apparently.
You're not getting enough.
You got to pick on a 98-year-old woman?
Yeah.
He's 53.
Is he 53?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whippersnapper.
I'm not going to badmouth any priests.
But if somebody goes
down
Saturday.
What am I
going to
do? I think I probably, I'm guessing that I will try to do like some sort of a half-arsed cartwheel / backflip, and there'll be a scream of agony midair. I will collapse onto the gymnasium floor and be ambulanced out to safety, hopefully.
And you're going to stay there until Monday.
That would be the only way I could do it. I got to come home for Easter, man. I got a life. I got three kids myself. I don't want them on reality TV. I got to work a job. I talked to Brian about maybe him financing
so
a trip down there.
He buses his way down, yeah.
So we could...
Megabus.
Yeah.
You'll be the one who pays 1 cent.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a really... this is a true story. I had a...
Got to change the tires in Kansas City.
I was called into action years ago to do some... I was the entertainment at some horrible event. And I just failed miserably. I don't know why. It was just everything I said didn't go over well. And... it was just, I could tell you the story in more detail if it amused you, but as I was doing it, it occurred to me I could just lock my knees, faint, and be ambulanced out of the place. That's how bad it was going.
Oh, boy.
And I'm figuring maybe that's the only way I get out of work on Tuesday morning if I'm stuck down here and I can't get out of the Alamo. And next thing you know, by the way, have you been to the Alamo?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Just so you know, the Alamo, like the little... The little, what do you call it?
Got
little
great
wall?
Reviews.
Yeah, the wall's about 3 feet tall.
Yeah, you can look over.
You want to know how to get massacred? Try to make a last stand behind the 3 foot wall against an entire army.
Yeah.
Oh my God, those poor guys. But it was, I mean, it was an insane place to choose to make your stand.
You cover the patio. I'll get.
Oh my God, that was really sad. And I've seen all the movies, believe me. But going down there, you're not prepared for how small it is. And you're kind of like, oh, guys, really? You couldn't get anything better? I mean, this was a failed expedition from the get-go. Anyway, that's my Elmo story.
Thank you.
Hey, we're going to talk to Hawk next, Joe. How about that?
I'm looking forward to it.
Hopefully, we'll hear him every Sunday.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Molly and Adley, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Nothing ever truer in life than Hawk pointing out that I'm happy and you're sad.
I've been morose on an occasion or two.
Let's get to the legend himself. Hawk Harrelson joins us. Good morning, Hawk. How are you?
Boy, you guys, there's apparently the full house between you two.
You sound like you could go 162 right now. The eve of opening day, any regrets that you got the 20-game schedule, or are you enjoying life right now?
Oh, there, I'm enjoying life, but there's mixed emotions. You know, you just don't do something all these years, and then all of a sudden I think about my grandchildren, my 13-year-old, my 11-year-old, and my 4.5-year-old, and all of a sudden the remorse goes away. Because I'm going to get to spend some time with them. I'm going to get to watch them play some basketball, some baseball, which I haven't been able to get much in, obviously, you know, working all the games. So, yeah, but there is some mixed emotions in there.
And Hawk, you know, it's a fun team to watch. The development is coming. We're seeing, you know, I had a chance to go out to spring training and watch a game and watch the – well, I saw a couple of games and saw some batting practice and the way that team – they have the look of kind of a lot of future stars. I mean, there's a lot to be excited about just with the whole group of them. They look like a basketball team sometimes, a football team. They're big, strong athletes. And I know a lot of it's projections, but those projections are pretty good.
Well, it's going to be, in my opinion, a decade of great, great baseball for Chicago baseball fans. I mean, both teams are going to be good for a long time. The Cubs are good. They're not going anywhere. We're going to be a monster in a couple of years. Maybe, I don't know, maybe even sooner. We've got two of the best managers in the game, and today managing is more important than it's ever been because all the guys are making a lot of money. And when you're making that kind of money, some of them are going to say, you know, don't tell me this. Don't talk to me about that. These guys, you know, the mark of a manager is not wins and losses. The mark of a manager, a good manager, is how hard do they play for him? Do they give him 27 outs? We got two managers in this city that both these teams are going to give them 27 outs every game. And when you get that, it's just fun to watch. We had fun watching them last year, didn't we? I mean, it was fun. We didn't win that many games, but it was fun because you know what was coming. You know what's down the road. And when you get to that situation, as I said, in my opinion, the next decade may be the greatest decade in Chicago baseball history.
And as you always said, Ricky's boys don't quit, and that's a sign of a good young team. And, you know, Molly and I kid each other. You know, Eloy Jimenez, every time he hits a tape measure shot, whether it's the minor league level or in an exhibition or whatever, I kind of cringe. And yet I know how great Jose Quintana is and is going to be. And I'm sure you're rooting for him with the first full season with the Cubs. And, you know, certainly people expect him to maybe be in the Cy Young conversation.
Well, I hope he wins every time he goes out there, with the exception of when they play us. You know, it's Jose is a wonderful person. He's a wonderful teammate. He's a wonderful pitcher. And there's no negatives about him. And there's a lot of, you know, Chris Sale's the same way. I pull for Chris every time, except when he pitches against us. Because these are two quality guys. I mean, you know, they're great teammates. They back up their teammates. And when you get guys like that, you hate to lose them. But on the other side of that page, if you're going to – this has been the best redo of a baseball team I've ever seen. You know, and I've been in this game all parts of seven decades. And what Kenny and Rick have done has been phenomenal. I mean, it really has. This to get what they got back for trading away Adam and Chris and Jose, it's just remarkable because they got some of the, you know, we went from being the worst voted in the pollster, so to speak, organization coming out of spring training last year. So when the season was over, we were voted number one as far as organizational talent goes. And that being the case, that just I don't think it's ever happened before.
Yeah, Hawk, you know, and you, when you see those guys at minor league camp, it's pretty incredible. And I know Rick said, Rick Hahn said the other day that that we'll be talking about Dylan Cease next year the way we've talked about Michael Kopech this year. So, you know, you got for the you know, Adam Eaton deal, you got two guys you're going to see starting this year, maybe a third on the way in Dane Dunning. You got two more stud pitchers in your system from various trades. I mean, you know, and we don't even know. There'll be guys that you don't even expect yet to be stars that'll pop out somehow, right? I mean, we'll see people show up.
That's well framed because of the fact some of these guys that we're talking about right now are not going to make it. You know, it's just that simple. That's the way the numbers game is played. That's the way the math is done. And there's going to be other guys who know what's going on. And what that's going to do is that's going to make them really pay the price, sacrifice, and bust their ass. Hmm. The other guys who want to get to the big leagues in this organization because they know there's a ton of talent in front of them. So when you get it, everything is positive. Everything is there's no negatives involved. And as I said, the fans are just going to be the recipients of some very exciting baseball.
Hawk, I saw in the Sun-Times today Darryl Van Skouwen saying that AJ's going to do a game with you. Paulie's going to do a game, maybe even Big Hurt. Is there a wish list for guys you want to work with this season?
Yeah, there's not enough games in the season.
I'd like to see Joe West up there on an off day. I know you guys become friends. Yeah,
I would love to. Joe, you know, Joe and I butted heads for over 30 years, and then when I found out a couple of years ago that he was back, we were down in Texas, and Tony told me, he says, you know, it's good to see Joe West back. I said, well, where's he been? He said, well, you didn't hear? I said, what? That he had throat cancer. So as soon as the game was over, I went down to the umpire's room, knocked on the door. One of the umpires opened the door, and he was shocked to see me there, you know. So I said, where's Joe? He says, he's in the shower. Going back. So I went back there, and Joe was soaping up his face, and he looked at me. He said, Hawk. I said, Joe, let me tell you something, buddy. I said, I don't mind arguing with you. I don't mind fighting you. But the one thing I cannot have is you getting sick on me. He started laughing. And, you know, and then we played golf together a few times. He was a pretty damn good player, too. And we it broke the ice. And he is a wonderful person. I mean, he is funny. He's got great stories. And in the games the golf we played, we just had a ball. And he's probably, talent-wise, he's probably the best umpire I've ever seen. Nestor Shalak was a good one back in my time zone, and there were some good ones. But Joe is a terrific umpire. And as I told you, my two rules about winning Major League Baseball, first of all, you got to catch the ball. That's number one. And then rule number two is don't mess with Joe West.
What, you know, I keep thinking, just talking to people, just looking at this team, I keep thinking that we're going to see the Sox a little bit like last year, where they're going to be better at the end of the year than they are at the beginning of the year. And I know that there's still some moves to be made. There's still some things that can happen. But as we move forward in this season and as guys come up and we get a chance to see some of these other guys, yeah, I mean, and I don't want to be rude about it, but last year you had Quintana, you had a guy like Frazier, you had Melky, you had professional players. This year, you know, you're missing some of that going into the season. So, you know, hopefully they'll be better later. Is that a fair assessment or is that an unfair assessment?
No, that's very fair because of the fact, well, you got to start, everything starts at the top. You know, it really does. And we got a guy who owns this ball club. If you think he's going to sit back and let the Cubs dominate our city for the next, 8 or 10 years, you got another thing coming. And he's brought 7 world championships to this town, And he's not done yet. And when you get a competitive guy like that, then everything starts there. Then you go to Kenny. Then you go to Rick. And then you go down, you know, you got Chris Gasly just brought in to run the minor league situation. And we got some terrific coaches. We got some terrific – it's just a terrific organization. I don't know all the organizations in the National League. I know a few of them. And I know all of them in the American League. And we're in that situation right now. You might tie us, but you're not going to beat us organizational-wise. And when you get that, then White Sox fans are just going to be ecstatic for a long time.
Well, we have a couple texters saying you said nice things about the Cubs. Any chance you'd come back to Wrigley Field one more time? Do a game in the bleachers.
No.
Didn't go soft on us.
Never, ever step foot in that. I tell you what, from a visiting club standpoint, it's the worst ballpark. That and Fenway Park are the two worst ballparks. And, of course, I played with Boston. But those are the two worst ballparks for a visiting team in Major League Baseball. I'm just shocked that Major League Baseball hadn't done something about it. And the broadcast situation is just brutal. Now, once you get on the field, it's great in both in Wrigley and in Fenway Park. But until you get on the field, it's just a nightmare. You guys have been at the club.
Oh, yeah. I was telling Molly, first time I walked into Fenway covering the White Sox, I was like, wow, it looks nice on TV, but what a dump underneath.
Exactly. And, you know, every year I'd go back, Mike, the clubhouse guy there, I'd say, Mike, I thought you told me last year that things they weren't going to fix this thing. Well, I went on for 30 years.
Yeah, it's on our to-do list, yeah.
Yeah. I got a feeling Ricketts is going to do something about it. So I just think because of Cub clubhouse now on the other side of this ballpark, that's probably the best clubhouse I've ever seen. And then you walk, you know, 100 yards, and then you run into that dump that we've got.
It's a walking closet, really. It is, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Hawk, thank you, buddy. Always a joy to talk to you. I hope we can get a chance to do it a few times during the year, and always a joy. Thank you, buddy.
Well, for you two guys, anytime. You know that.
Hit them straight, all right? Keep them in the fairway.
I used to be long and crooked. Now I'm short and straight.
That is Hawk Harrelson. He is the White Sox legend. No way around it. Mully and Hanley will come back and do some transition on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.